You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Ron, you played Nintendo with the gun controller.
The only video game I've ever played is Pong, believe it or not.
Are you kidding, Ron? The only video game you have ever played is the first video game? The first video game was Pong.
That was it. That's the only video game I've ever played in my life.
That is a breathtaking answer. Put that
and
on.
And Grand Theft Auto Vice City, obviously.
Never played that. Never what? Played any video game ever except for Pong, the one that just went doop, doop.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do you know what Pong is? And at Le Batard Show, are you stunned that the only video game that Ron McGill has ever played is Pong? Because I don't think you've said something more shocking than that, Ron. It is literally the original video game. What was it about that video game that made you choose to never play another?
It was boring, I guess. I'm an outdoor kind of guy, Dan. I'm just kind of guy. I can't sit in front of a television set and, you know, I don't know. It's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm boring. Maybe I'm boring that way.
It is not that you are boring. It is just unusual, I would say. Regardless, it could just be old as well. Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, a zookeeper in San Diego was bitten by a venomous snake. So yes. I was wondering, what kind of training goes into being a zookeeper or somebody who works at the zoo?
Well, it depends what animal you're working with, of course. I mean, different animals present different dangers. You know, if you're working with elephants, there's a tremendous danger there because there's a lot of close contact with elephants and you have to be very careful with them. So, you know, you don't take somebody who's worked with bunny rabbits and then all of a sudden make them an elephant keeper. You don't have a generic zookeeper. These folks are generally trained for the specific areas they're working in. And venomous snakes is a very specific area where you need to have extensive training, working with partners, working with various tools, handling those snakes. Here at Zoo Miami, for instance, we never have anybody working venomous snakes by themselves. You always work with another partner. And when venomous snakes are being worked, it goes over the radio that we are now working with the venomous snakes to the supervisor, so everybody's aware of what's going on. All venomous snakes in the collection, we have antivenin for on ground. So God forbid someone does get bitten, we have treatment for them. So zoos like San Diego and accredited zoos like that go under the same protocols.
So I should have mentioned before now that Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is on vacation, so you will not be hearing from him on this Tuesday. What is the worst experience, Ron, that you have had with a snake?
Actually, it wasn't even working. I was horseback riding barefoot, jumped off the horse and stepped on a pygmy rattlesnake. Lit me up like I can't even explain to you what that feeling was like. It was like if somebody took a branding iron, put it on the base of my foot, and then took a sledgehammer and kept hammering against my foot. It was a pain that was just a little pygmy rattlesnake, and only one fang got in. So I can't even imagine what a full bite from something like a big diamondback would feel like, because that was horrific.
All right, Ron, let's measure some of these, actually, because you have had a handful of things happen to you that involve pain and the animals. So let's start. You've told us about the bullet ant.
That was by far the worst single pain I felt within a short amount of time in my life.
I was going to say 1 to 10 on pain that has happened to you involving the animals, but you're going to tell me that the bullet ant has caused you more pain than any other animal.
Yes, most definitely more pain than any. It's a close second by the pygmy rattlesnake bite, but it was so intense, that bullet ant thing. I can understand why it's called a bullet ant. I felt like I had gotten shot. It was just unbelievable. It's a bug. It's a little bug. And I mean, not terrible. It's a pretty big ant, but still it's an ant. And it is quite an awakening situation when you realize how nature can affect you that way.
What other animals have harmed you or caused you physical pain? Are there good stories, or have we gone through all of them?
We've gone, the crocodile thing, of course, but that worked out well. I met my wife, the pygmy rattlesnake. I've gotten hooked, gored by a chamois, which is a type of kind of like a mountain goat. Horn went kind of through my thigh a little bit. That hurt a lot. I've been bitten by a bunch of, cats, not full adult cats, but semi-adult, like leopards and tigers, and not bitten out of aggression, but bitten out of just roughhousing, and that hurt too. But you know what really hurt, that people are going to look and say, oh, Ron, you're such a wimp, you're such a wuss? A freaking macaw, a parrot, took its bill and went right through my thumbnail, to where the bill met the other part of the bill in the middle of my finger through my thumbnail.
Ow.
Now, there was just one hole, okay? But I'm going to tell you, that was one of the most painful things. They had to remove my fingernail so that the pressure, it was horrific, from a freaking parrot. And people look at, and again, only left a little hole. It doesn't leave a huge scar or anything like that. It was so painful. It's one of those pressure bites. Anybody who's owned a parrot who's been really bitten badly by a parrot will attest to the fact that parrot bites hurt like hell.
How does a goat horn kind of go through your thigh?
Well, no, it went through my thigh. I mean, it went through my jean and my thigh, and it hooked me and made a hole in my thigh. So it wasn't kind of, it just did. It could have been worse, though. I mean, it was just really quick in and out instead of hooking and pulling and yanking a piece of skin out.
Ron, we were talking about Radko the Butcher, the Panther's enforcer. I'm wondering, does the animal kingdom have an enforcer? Does it have one?
In specific groups, absolutely. The enforcers are usually the males. Pride of lions, of course, you have the head male, that he enforces that territory, and any other male tries to come in there, and he's going to enforce the fact that he's not coming in. So yes, there are kind of a sergeant at arms assigned to every group of every territory that's going to protect that group, protect the territory. Most definitely it's the territory, and it's a close second protecting the females. Females are a very hot commodity in the animal kingdom.
Chris, what do you have for McGill?
Ron, there was a viral video of the bobcat, and this pleasant guy walking out of his house. The bobcat all of a sudden attacks his wife, and it's just a crazy video. It's honestly funny in hindsight after no one was hurt. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that video were, and have you ever been put in a spot where you had to spring into action and save someone with an animal?
Well, but hold on just a second, okay, because you say no one was hurt, but clearly that bobcat was then shot by a guy who's been waiting to use that gun all his life, and I'm surprised that guy didn't shoot that bobcat straight out of the sky after throwing him in the lawn.
The bobcat was thrown the way that Ben Stiller's character, Tropic Thunder, threw that Asian baby like across the bridge, if you know what I'm saying. This is a bit of a dated reference.
I fully expected, though, this is, he comes out, says good morning. I think
it is
a great video, and it's caught on one of those Ring cameras, and he's just good morning, it's happy and everything's nice, and it's just a normal morning, and then all of a sudden, holy shit, there's a bobcat, now it's over his head, and now he's throwing it across the lawn. And what I'm telling you is, I am stunned he didn't go straight to the gun right there and turn that bobcat into just a plume of fur, because he shot it straight out of the sky.
And here's the detail of the video that I want to run by Ron, because the bobcat first makes an appearance by jumping out of a cage. Apparently, the woman in the house caged this bobcat thinking it was a domesticated cat. How often does this happen? What animal does it happen with the most that people just take these things? Yeah.
I don't know what happens. I thought that maybe she had a domestic cat in the kennel,
and was walking out, and there was a bobcat that saw this and became aggressive towards that cat and aggressive towards her because she was holding the cat. I don't think she had a bobcat in the kennel. And first of all, that bobcat, I'm not sure it was a true bobcat. It may have been a hybridized cat, one of these wild cats that people are hybridizing to get different patterns, because it was considerably small for a bobcat. I want to tell you that. I saw the video. Regardless, it was obviously an animal that was very aggressive. I don't know if that animal was rabid. I heard somewhere that it was tested that it was rabid, but I don't know. But as soon as you come out, watch the video. You'll see as soon as she comes out, you first start hearing the cat kind of going, and then you're, okay, that shows me that there's something, an aggression towards whatever's in that kennel is what I think is going on.
We have some details. We have some details to plug in. The bobcat did indeed test positive for rabies, and the bobcat was running across the street, so it wasn't in the kennel.
There you go. That's the only reason that animal attacked that way, because a bobcat would not normally do that. These animals are shy animals. They don't want anything to do with humans. You're lucky if you see one. So the fact, when I heard that growl, I said to myself, that thing sounds like it's rabid. I mean, it doesn't sound normal, and came after him. So when you say nobody was really hurt, yeah, that guy is going to have rabies shots, which are painful as hell. Anybody who came in contact with that cat is going to have rabies shots, which are painful as hell. And of course, the cat didn't live, but he wouldn't have lived anyway having had rabies. So, you know, it was not a win-win situation for anybody, but I really tip my hat to that guy. And that's an instinct that says, listen, family above all else. Family above all else. You do things that you don't think you'd be capable of doing if somebody presented to you ahead of time. Like, if, you know, this bobcat came with your wife, would you grab it and do what you did? Well, I don't know. But heck, adrenaline comes in, you love a family. And I, you know, I salute the guy. He did what he had to do to protect his wife, and it's great. But the bobcat was rabid. And like I said, I don't think, as Mike has now confirmed, it was not the animal that was in the kennel. And it was probably the fact that there was an animal in that kennel that instigated that aggression.
The juxtaposition of the first 10 seconds of that video to the final 10 seconds of that video. It's so funny.
It escalated.
It's
so
great.
It escalated. It is great.
And a bobcat attacking my wife.
Yeah.
It's a bobcat.
It's like that. What was that?
Get inside.
A dingo stole my baby.
He was totally ready for that moment. He'd been waiting for it all his life. And it's why he was armed. All his life, that man has come out of that house holding a cup of coffee and saying, please let this be the day. A rabid bobcat. Bobcat makes an appearance.
Ron, well, I think what's classic is the way he starts and goes, oh, that's a beautiful morning. Just a beautiful morning.
I got to clean my car.
There you go.
Ron, which animal gets taken in by unsuspecting people? You see these stories online that an elderly couple takes a dog into the vet that they've been taking care of, and it's been a wild coyote that wants to bite everybody's face off. How often does this stuff happen?
It really doesn't happen often at all. You know, people take in these animals, know that they're wild animals. We have so many people that try to take in raccoons and want to make them their pets until the thing turns into the Antichrist. And then, you know, other wild animals, squirrels, the same thing. People, baby squirrels are adorable. Baby raccoons are adorable. Most baby animals are adorable. And then they reach such maturity, and it's like you pour water on a gremlin. They just go out of their minds. So people need to keep that in mind. I said it over and over, man. You can take an animal out of the wild. You cannot take the wild out of the animal.
Ron, back to that story. Have you ever had to spring into action like the bobcat guy?
No, I really have not. You know, we've moved crocodiles here at the zoo where I've had some, you know, inexperienced keepers kind of make mistakes, and I've had to jump in and say, no, that's not what you do here. But no, I've never had to do what that guy did. Thank goodness.
Ron, Zoo Miami has welcomed in two new draft calves.
Three. We had another one born. We had another one born on Saturday. Three, baby. We got a three. It's the triple.
How are they doing so far?
They're doing flipping great. I mean, if you want to see something that's beyond adorable, come out here and see these giraffe calves with their moms out on the exhibit. These are animals, you know, they're almost 6 feet tall when they're born. And they range in size. We had one that was only about 115 pounds when it was born, but we had another one that was 180 pounds at birth, stood 6 feet tall. Imagine. And giraffes, they have a 15-month pregnancy. The mom does not lay down. The baby falls 4 to 6 feet to the floor. Just bam, hits the floor like a big water balloon. It's fantastic to watch.
How often are you made emotional or awed by a thing like that, Ron, where you are? I can imagine you seeing something like that and finding it so beautiful that underneath all the Tarzan stuff, you would go real soft there.
Listen, anybody who knows me will tell you that I'm a really soft guy. I cry at the dumb Publix commercials. I cry. So watching the miracle of birth never gets old. I've probably seen over 20 giraffes being born out here, not to mention many other animals. But each time you sit there, you do get emotional. My eyes water and I say to myself, you know, when that calf hits the ground and you see the mother instinctively clean it off and it's taking those first steps with those huge langy legs and it looks like it's made out of springs and it's just bouncing and falling and bouncing and falling, and you laugh and you cry at the same time as you're watching this thing take its first breath and realize, you know, you've witnessed really what I consider a miracle. I mean, it's just, especially giraffe, because giraffe give birth to these huge babies, but their bellies aren't that big. You know, most animals you look at, you say, oh my God, look how pregnant it is. A giraffe can be pregnant, get ready to give birth, and you won't even think it's pregnant. It's like they store the baby up into their neck or something. It's unbelievable how giraffe pregnancies can be well hidden.
Ron, did you see the video of the baby elephant that was stuck in mud?
I saw the one stuck in a well.
Okay.
They had it dig into a well, and they dug it out of a well with cranes and backhoes and stuff like that and saved it. As a matter of fact, I sponsor an elephant nursery in South Africa that has one of those elephants that was rescued in that respect.
Ron, how does that happen? And I'm wondering, have you ever had to make some sort of emergency to help an animal out who was stuck in a situation like that to get him out of that situation?
Yes, we have helped some animals out. There was believe it or not, a hippo that had got stuck in the mud in South Africa in a place called Shingwetsi. And I was there with the owner of the property, and it was a horrible drought where the mud was like the only way to get the water back. And the hippo had literally gotten stuck in the mud, and they had to take lariats and put it around that hippo and pull it out with a tractor to get it out of the mud. So that was kind of the one event that I did that at. But, you know, animals, what happens with in Africa, animals fall in wells all the time because people are making wells, but that's the only way they can get water. You know, they don't have running water. You have these kids, they make these deep wells, and kids are out there. You see these 3, 4, 5-year-old kids with no shoes, with buckets on their heads, dropping the buckets into the well to get the water. That's the only source of water that they have. Unfortunately, they just open holes. So when you have an animal walking in the dark, they fall in those holes and they can't get out.
Ron, when you say you sponsor something in Africa, is that through your charitable endeavor? Is it through your substantive endowment?
No, it's the endowment. It's the endowment. For instance, we provided over $10,000 to build the first elephant nursery in Africa for orphaned elephants in South Africa. And it's one of the things I take great pride in. We know we're saving the lives of these animals. They get raised in this orphanage, and then they're introduced to a wild herd that accepts them back in Africa. And this is an increasing issue now with orphaned animals, whether it be because their parents were poached or killed, or whether it be just because of stress that they were separated or abandoned by their parents. These are all things where there's more and more need now to help protect these animals, help save them, with the objective goal of getting them back to the wild. I can't overstress the fact that I'm not in favor of taking an animal and just keeping it in captivity. The objective goal of what we try to support is making sure animals are back in the wild where they belong.
Billy, he really cares about the animals, and many of you really have been moving in terms of taking care of...
Especially Maine.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Maine has just knocked it out of the park. I can't believe... I got a donation just yesterday. I forwarded it to you this morning, Dan, in memory or in honor of Dan the Hippo. This guy just sent $1,000. $1,000.
Well, thank you, Maine. Maine, you are no longer cheap, and you are no longer cruel to the animals. But for real, Rhode
they were never
Island.
Cruel for, to the animals. They were. Don't say that. They were never
real,
that, damn it. And
real.
They were never cheap. For, they just had other just, priorities.
All right.
It's Mississippi. Mississippi's
right.
Bad.
To be clear, all right, off Mississippi.
Wow.
And if you don't fix this, you're going to forever be known as cruel to the animals, and you don't like Ron McGill, and you don't stand for the things that Ron McGill stands for. And
I got to also throw out kudos to Wyoming, North and South Dakota. Here are states that are not heavily populated, but man, they have really represented. And you know why? Because if anybody's had the privilege to go to those states, you understand how they appreciate the wild.
No, that's not it. It's because they were shamed for being jerks about not giving enough to Ron McGill's endowment. Billy, close us out here, please.
Ron, you mentioned liking being an outdoorsman. If I wanted to get into bird watching, what would I need, and what is a good environment that I should look for to start bird watching?
Well, you know, you need a good pair of binoculars. I mean, that's basically it. And patience. You need a lot of patience. But if you want to go, like right now, for anybody who lives in South Florida, there's a place down in Palm Beach and Deerfield Beach called Wacotahatchee Wetlands. It's where Palm Beach actually converted a water treatment plant, water sewer treatment plant, into a wetlands. And now there are wood storks nesting by the hundreds. There's herons, there's alligators, there's ospreys. Man, and it's a boardwalk that walks you through. You think you're in a zoo, but you're not. You're in the wild. It's so many beautiful birds, and they're all got nests and hatchlings getting ready to fledge. For the next 2 to 3 weeks, it is gold as far as bird watching goes.
Oh, hi, Ron. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, the billy goat guy.
Is it true that the male billy goat attracts females by urinating on its own face?
It is very true. That is very true because, you know, urine is the number one catalyst to sex in the animal kingdom. Now you've learned something. I want you all to have a wonderful week. I hope to speak to you soon.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
So, because yesterday was a really staggered recording, like, we Tarantino'd that shit. Like, we did our 2 local hour and went back and chopping. So, it's tough when you have to keep an ear out. You can't mark everything. So, a couple of F-bombs made it onto the podcast. So, there is audio that will haunt me for the rest of my life, which is just, I will Zinger Mountain Melt. It was, I was just
don't
listening
be ashamed
to the
part.
It was so shocking to my system. Right. Just, I'm just driving. And it's one thing to have it bleeped, to actually hear the word in that context. Because then you have the mental picture of me mounting a Zinger Mountain Melt.
Oh, no, I don't want that. No.
You're a power bottom. If you
had that.
Yeah.
Well, had that
so really it would be mounting me. Which isn't even... Ugh.
But I had that visual the moment that you said it. Why Same. Do you think that the bleep would take that visual out? Right. I think it...
Well, you guys raw-dogged it. You were here for that moment. I am thinking in my mind of how it's going to come out on the podcast. It's genuinely shocking to hear someone readily admit that they would a piece of food.
I would love for that to be something that haunts you for the remainder of your career. That someone takes it and clips it and uses it against you.
But if you were going to... a plate of food, it well, would be
that's one. That's one.
That way it would be zinger.
That's clear. I think we all agree.
Not making the situation better.
No, sorry. There's no bleep right there.
But it's going to follow me. Every time my name comes up in trades, anytime I ascend up the Metal Arc corporate ladder, people are going to retweet with audio of me wanting to f*** a Miller's Ale House Mountain Melt.
And they should, and this should hurt you in your executive climb. And what I would say to you is, the conviction with which you delivered it suggests there is no shame for you. So you haven't even learned the lessons of how inappropriate this is.
Actually, a funny thing happened, Dan. I'm emboldened by it because you know what? A lot of people would f*** a Zinger Mountain Melt from Miller's Ale House.
Yep.
A lot of people are like, yeah, me too. I'm glad someone with the balls to say it.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Dan.
Thank you for...
Listen, in his defense, I've been thinking about saying it for 15 years, and then Mike finally said it.
Since it opened, since the Ale House opened, we've thought that way, and it had always been a muffled voice somewhere near my soul, between my gut and my soul, but it was something I never gave voice to. I never dared, but I would also, I have to agree.
Yours would be nachos, right? Loaded?
A mountain of melt is enough. I don't need to. You can make it something else if you want. Let me make love and peace to whatever thing I want. The zinger is important as well.
For far too long, it has been a secret. Third rail, considered by many, to openly want to f*** a plate of food.
It's okay. I'm glad you finally said it, Mike. There are a lot of people in the audience saying, you know what? This is groundbreaking.
Yes.
You've given voice to something that has always been a shadowy secret.
Listening audience, listen to me. Live your truth. If you want a plate of food, don't let anyone tell you different. It's 2021. We're a little bit more liberated now. Go ahead and that plate of food. I'm telling you.
Love is love.
This ain't love, though, Roy. I just
it's tripped. Lust.
Yes.
I want to ravage this plate of Zinger Mountain Melts.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't talk. You're going to ruin everything.
Is it considered cheating? Like, how does Cynthia feel about your food?
God, I've been trying to convince her to bring in a Zinger Mountain Melt into the bedroom. for a decade plus.
Spice it up.
Since the Bush administration, I've been telling her, hey, baby, let's spice things up.
Menage a trois.
By the way, I think in the middle of that, Dan was very afraid to say, I want a food as well.
Yeah, I was not going to give it to him.
Right,
I was going to give it to him.
I like yeah, the idea of don't want that. Want that sound bite, Dan.
Too early in a marriage process.
I like the idea of Mike coming home smelling like zingers and Cynthia going, Mike, the zingers again?
Is that, why is there buffalo sauce under your zipper? Is that, tell me, that is that ranch? I don't know. What's worse? What is that stain? There's no good answers here, babe. I had another lapse. I'm just a red-blooded American male. What more do you want from me?
You're going to go from the L house to a gas station and start spraying gas all over yourself.
That is such a deep pool.
Well, it is. I did it after a strip club. That's my secret after I come home from a strip club. I go to a gas station. I douse myself with gasoline to get all the strip club smells off of me.
How is that better?
It's not.
It's just different.
Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we're trying to reintroduce songs in a cautious way because people are litigious and we're not out here trying to get sued, but we're taking a little bit more liberty here at Metal Arc Media because the biggest hurdle that we had to clear over at ESPN was ESPN itself when it came to these parody songs. They flatly don't want the risk, and I get where they're coming from, but we're going to let shit fly a little bit more here at Metal Arc. So guys, I have two parody songs from some of our great SUI-nominated artists, in one case a SUI Award winner, And these songs are legitimately good. Would you like to hear them?
Well, I want to encourage first the audience, because in the evolutions of this show, like one of the things that has been most moving, I'm not kidding about this, even as you guys have been trained to be producers on the show, is when something that's happening here moves you to try and sculpt these things where you're trying to reach the expectation of funny that this show has with a song. There's a creative, brave risk in that vulnerability, trying to perform for us. I think stand-up comics say all the time, Stugatz, that stand-up comedy is the hardest thing of all the things in entertainment, because it involves the vulnerability, the writing. It's just you and the expectation of funny on the stage. That's the hardest thing, to meet the expectation of funny, so that you guys would challenge yourselves and compete against each other because you have a stifled musical thing inside you that makes you want to create. I want to give as much credence and power to these people as possible. I want to encourage as much of this as possible because you guys are willing to produce for us. And much like we trained callers a long time ago to be a certain kind of funny, and then texters to be a certain kind of funny, and social media to help us be a certain kind of funny, we want to meet the level of this standard that these guys and women put together, these songs that are genuinely flattering, that they take this kind of sculpted care with what they're doing.
So the first song we're going to play is from Andrew Streeter, who has delivered so many great parody songs along the years. This is actually an Eminem cover, so stay with me. We have a Flemonem original piece of music, it would seem, and this Andrew Streeter song that happens to be an Eminem cover. This is really good.
Relax when I see on my feet that Durant won't go out there and bleed or concede that the league ain't what it used to be. Back when dudes wouldn't rest, they play through injuries with significantly lower paid salaries. It's so weak and unspeakable, unbelievable. Please just get out of my sight. Patrick Ewing got out and played night after night with giant bags of ice on his knees, so you all can miss me with this thing called load management. Unembarrassment, man, where Bakuzi at? Y'all can't cut him slack, dude. We'll get off of the train from Fort Wayne and go straight to the game. You know why?
Cause that's basketball.
I'm so sick of y'all trying to tell me you can't play in these games. It's absurd and insane with what you're getting paid. I'm upset and I write, so get wrecked if you can't be like
Havocek.
If you're hurting, you still go out and earn your check. Patrick
injured, you can't earn respect. You get wrecked if you can't be like Havoc Jack. If you're hurting, you still go out and earn your check. Patrick Ewing, Paul Silas, and John Havoc Jack. Why can't you all be like Havoc Jack? Don't quit Havoc Jack once.
Okay, Mike, do me a favor. Just because, and I know many of you know what all of that is in reference to, but in the event that we have new listeners that don't have context points and don't understand that we beat inside jokes into the ground for many, many years now, Chris Mad Dog Russo has been a lifeblood for this show because he is a cartoon caricature of all things sports radio. And this was him the other day just railing against the idea of load management until, of course, he arrived at Cousy and Havlicek.
Let's go to a Pat rally. Hey, Pat, no Ewing tonight. I know you're playing the Bulls and Jordan, but Ewing's going to pass because his knees are sore. Ewing, who played every night when he was freaking, I was there many a night in many a locker room when Ewing had a freaking ice his knees. Talk to the media every game, sit in front of that locker room every game, sat there with his ice on his knees, and he played night after night after night after night, played his ass off night after night. You think I tell you something right now? Ewing wanted to play. How about Krause telling Jordan somewhere in the 98 season when Pippen decided to take a pass with that late surgery, as we all saw there in the documentary? How about Krause telling Mike, you know, Mike, Sacramento's in, no, we're in Sacramento tonight. You know, you played last night. You know, let's take a blow. You know what Jordan would do? You know what Jordan would do? My God almighty! You couldn't rip that uniform off him. That's basketball. That's what he would do. He'd freaking play. How about Paul Silas? How about Havlicek? How about Havlicek? Ran 8 miles every game. Havel played from 1963 to 1979. 16 freaking years. Every single game. You think Havlicek's taking a night off? Havlicek! Twice the player that any of these guys are. You know what Havlicek was? It makes me sick. And you guys rip Cousy. Yeah, how many games Cousy played? You know, he taking trades to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and run into the ball game because the trade is late and they played the night before in Boston. And he go out there and play 45 minutes. How about freaking Durant say, you know what? I'm playing. Get the hell out of here. You know, Durant, instead of fighting Michael Rappaport, how about Durant tell freaking Nash and his freaking owner who's paid him $40 million and the GM Marks, who's a freaking out of the Popovich school, how about Durant just say, give me the goddamn uniform! I'm playing tonight!
All right, so, and that looks exactly as you'd imagine, spittle and rage and veins in his face.
I still can't get past the part where he just mentions Paul Silas and moves on.
That's
to
right,
Hondo.
Just pivots immediately, very quickly, sped right past Paul Silas and headed to Cousy and Havlicek. But now that it's fresh in your mind, because I did not, when I heard that from Mad Dog Sports Radio, that's the credit on the sound. When I heard it, I didn't say to myself, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, how do I turn a subject that is one thing into hip-hop? How do I make it?
You definitely watch Hamilton over the weekend.
So here it is, once again, our version of Hamilton, where he's grabbing a lot of things from that Mad Dog Russo rant.
Hamilton's good, right?
And turning it into hip-hop all of a sudden.
Game.
I cannot just sit back and relax when I see on my feed that Durant won't go out there and bleed or concede that the league ain't what it used to be. Back when dudes wouldn't rest, they play through injuries with significantly lower paid salaries. It's so weak and unspeakable, unbelievable. Please just get out of my sight. Patrick Ewing got out and played
night after night
with giant bags of ice on his knees, so you all can miss me with this thing called low management. Unembarrassment, man, where Bakuzi at? Y'all can't cut him slack. Dude would get off of the train from Fort Wayne and go straight to the game. You know why?
Cause that's basketball.
I'm so sick of y'all trying to tell me you can't play in these games. It's absurd and insane with what you're getting paid. I'm upset and outright, so get wrecked if you can't be like
Havlicek.
If you're hurting, you still go out and earn your check. Patrick Ewing, Paul Silas, and John
Havlicek.
Can't play injured, you can't earn respect. You get wrecked if you can't be like
Havlicek.
If you're hurting, you still go out and earn your check. Patrick Ewing, Paul Silas, and John
Havlicek.
Why can't you all be like Havlicek?
Don't quit Havlicek once.
So, Mike, do you want to do verses? Do you want to do this against Flemonem? Do you want to do this?
Man, just to- maybe I should have changed the order on this because that ended up being so good. And it sucks because Flemonem's whole deal is like he does rap songs. And Andrew Streeter, that's a diss track right there, in my opinion, using Eminem against Flemonem. But this is a higher degree of difficulty. It's a longer track. Going to play the whole thing and kind of feel it out. If we sour on it, we'll fade it down a little bit. But this is more of an original piece of work.
Why are you afraid of souring on it? Is it going to be hard to understand? Is it going to move too quickly? Is it going to be too inside?
It might be all those things, Dan, but there's audio from the show that's repurposed in here. It's an ambitious project from Flemonem.
But it sounds to me like you're not sold on it. You're telling the audience already, why did you play this in this order? Did you do something unfair to Flemonem? Are you trying to reduce expectations right now for Flemonem because we've done something unfair to him by coming in with a song that was that strong?
Everybody loves pirates until pirates start being pirates. Right? What did I do? I was a pirate. But, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't follow orders and wear a nice little...
Dancers fly, okay.
I'm a pirate.
Think I'm at a locked all day.
I'm a pirate.
Kids gonna lead that way.
Yep.
Still guys need his pay. We want the plane, spin off that crew, and we on that pirate ship.
It's a pirate. I'm a pirate. It's a pirate. I'm a pirate.
Everybody love a pirate till they start doing that pirate shit.
It's a pirate, I'm a pirate. It's a pirate, I'm a pirate.
We was on that cruise, just acting wild. Then it started sinking. Dan, I have a child. Captain Dano got upset about a ginger, so he took his podcast, tore his contract, hit his contact skipper. From a hippo to a whale, not a free agent was bigger. Cause he's fat. Got some refugees in this guy, I mean, but just ignore his Twitter. And someone get a King Roy, y'all filled up on claps and thunder. Told him Bucko's not to try me, now he yelling, now you mother. Yo, and Greg is on that poop deck, just longing for the days when penmanship was not a thing and humans drew in caves. Billy eggs that sea dog on until that sucker takes the bait. And Chris Cody, how are you the glue guy? You just walked your father to the plane.
Fire in the hole.
Stu guy's loading up them cannons with his takes. Mike's higher than that crow's nest with that grog blossom energy. And Witty's saying words that haven't been created in this century. Chris tell him about that last lad Tony who lived to regret it. And like Bo did with his name, tell that mothership forget it. Better recognize this whole crew left their mark before the Reddit. Pants and fly, okay. Sing him at a lock all day. Skip going to lead that way.
Yep.
Still guys need his pay. We want the plane, spin off that crew, and we on that pirate ship.
It's a pirate, I'm a pirate. It's a pirate, I'm a pirate.
And everybody love a pirate till they start doing that pirate ship.
It's a pirate, I'm a pirate. It's a pirate, I'm a pirate.
We was on that cruise, just acting wild. Then it started sinking. Then I have a child. Captain Wiener got some rum up on his breath. They told the man the sails. He heard sails, treasure chest. So he steps aside with bloodshot eyes while Dan keeps steering left. And dock that ship right on that shore. Call it parked and wrecked. Now can Tremendous hop aboard? Mike sure needs hands on deck. Next stop, Queen of the Hill. That's Jamil. All respect.
All respect. All respect.
It was only right we do that. With one line, she showed that orange could never be the new black. Got a parakeet, not a parrot. See, he tweets and speak his mind. He'll fly right by, kill Billy's vibe, and chirp out heat and five. We gon' sell the ship to gold. We at that point and no return. With the counted out flag, sharing tells about the ghost of germ. Brock my three sheets to the wind, keep saying he don't need a map. Brockmire, we need a map. And honestly, you need a nap. Where's Sheena at?
Sheena?
Sheena Dot? She's with Brock? She's half the... Never mind. When do we get Brockmire? This seems like a lot because Chris got fired. Chances fly, okay. Sing him at a lock all day. Skip's gonna lead that way.
Yep.
Stu guys need his pay. We want the plane, spin off that crew, and we on that pirate ship.
It's a pirate, I'm a pirate. It's a pirate, I'm a pirate.
And everybody love a pirate till they start doing that pirate ship.
It's a pirate, I'm a pirate. It's a pirate, I'm a pirate.
We was on that cruise, just acting wild. Then it started sinking. Then I have a child.
All right, I'm out of the demo, okay, but God damn, the degree of difficulty on that one seems impossible. Like that, super inside, you got to really love the show to get all the jokes, but God almighty, Murray, you shouting Murray when you want to get paid, it was clever, and the degree of difficulty on that one was harder. We got to put them up against each other. We got to do verses. What do you think, Mike? That's got to take a month to make.
I think our audience probably sides with the Eminem cover. It's a song choice. People are familiar with that. It's really good. A high level of production, too, because they're tapping into the Russo stuff. So ambitious, though, by Flem and M. Just as like a production, I lean towards that one.
Now I've pitted them against each other. Put it on the poll, Juju.
Yeah, why can't they both be great?
At Levitar, yeah, right. Mike, are you not familiar with how this all works? What do you mean, how can they not just all be great? You've got Steph Curry right now, has had a player of the month type of month, and he's in the MVP conversation. Last month, it was Jokic.
It can't all be two great things. You must pick a side. No one came away from that versus, which I absolutely loved, by the way, and said, you know what? Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers, they both won. No, you sided with Granddaddy, Ron Isley, Mr. Biggs. Why? Because they were better. You can't have two best. Only one can survive. I think I finally got my cue right this time.
I think you did get it right this time. I don't know if we have access to the Angel of Nuance. I don't know if we can do this on remote through the Zoom. We have never tried it, but that is the filibuster I will give the Angel of Nuance if he's got anything.
Get in the playoff, Steph.
He flew away.
He did.
And he's right.
He flew away and I didn't even hear what he said.
Do it in the playoffs.
Yep.
Do it in the playoffs is not what the Angel of Nuance would say.
I mean, he's a three-time NBA champion. He kind of has, although he hasn't won a Finals MVP yet, which is a stunning indictment on the greatest shooter of all time. No, when you get outplayed by Andre Iguodala, who wasn't even a top three player on your team, it is a bit puzzling, Dan. Even you must admit.
Without Clay, he's all his teammates, and the Steve Kerr, please.
Wait, I don't
flew away again.
I don't understand what's happened to the Angel.
That one was actually my bad. I didn't have the pot hot. I'm spinning a lot of plates back here. Moderna, I still got your bomb dart.
But why is the Angel all
right out for the Angel? I'm doing it's a changed. Lot here.
It's been a year, Dan.
Okay, that time I really didn't understand what he said.
The Angel's just being cruel all of a sudden. It's not the Angel of Nuance. It's the Angel of being poisonous to athletes. Since when?
Stugatz's mom died, Dan. And I haven't seen her yet.
And Madonna.
I mean, a cruel angel. I mean,
oh, my God.
Angel.
I've got some bad news, pal.
She with you?
We've been having some parties out here. Things are getting a little wild. And let me just say, you can call me Daddy.
What? What?
Wait a minute.
What?
No, man.
You know what? I have my regrets. This is a bridge too far. Now I've got your mother in hell sleeping with me.
I was going to say, that's even far from me.
He flew away again.
Team player, Sugar, because I'd punch me in one of my three faces.
I'm about to.
Come here, son.
Go yourself.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.